Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to Yo MMA Rap, presented by Yo Kratom, YoKratom.com. Home of the $60 kilo. Dave Smith.
What's up, motherfucker?
What up, doggy?
Wow.
That was really. It.
That was when we realized we weren't friends anymore.
Oh, wow. That was
right
a moment.
In that moment.
That was a moment. Just, it was strange.
It was, we were faking it, and then we decided we didn't want to
we
anymore.
We have no dynamic. Not really much chemistry here, folks. No, we kid. We love each other. Happy belated 4th of July, Dave. I'm sure you were out there fucking eating hot dogs, fucking waving American flags, kissing babies. What were you doing on the 4th?
No hot dogs. I did have a small little barbecue with just some family. And
wasn't
I did,
invited.
I did kiss my babies. I just, it was just grandparents.
It was like just people I like.
It was just people I consider, you know, I want to be around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. Would you do? Did you barbecue yourself? You're the grill master? No.
Yeah, I grill.
No.
Oh, yeah, I grill.
Get the fuck out of here, Dave.
Oh, I can
Dave,
grill.
Stop acting like I'm a crazy person for saying that you wouldn't be a good grill master.
I didn't act like you were crazy. I just said, no, I fucking.
No, you're acting like I'm crazy, dude. Get the fucking rubber jacket away from me, dude.
I inform you. You are a crazy person for many other reasons. But no, I was always a city kid, but I grill these days.
Okay.
I run the grill.
What'd you grill?
Actually, a bunch of shit. I grilled, what do we have? We had some chicken, some sausage, some burgers, and these little fucking, like, I don't think pork chops is the right term, but they're almost like little kind of...
spoken like a true grill master.
No, this, I don't know what...
pork loins?
Maybe.
Pork
I don't
links.
Know. What is
pork
it?
Pork links?
It was pork like, links. It looked like little pieces. What are the tiny fucking really tender steaks? What's the fucking word I'm looking
filet
for?
Mignon?
Filet mignon.
Filets.
They look almost like little
pork
filets.
Pork loins. Yeah,
like that.
Tenderloins. Little, whatever they are. Something.
A pork cutlet.
I cooked them perfectly.
Victor came out. I saw Vic for the first time in nearly a decade. He came out to the...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was in Austin this past weekend. Vic, did you enjoy our barbecue? Give me your feedback. Because I know you don't... Vic doesn't pull punches.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I had a great time. I came home. Everyone wants me to shut up about it. Because they had a miserable time, and I said I had a great time. I'm a little sore from that pool basketball, but other than that, and Lewis just told everybody about his love of the musical Grease. That's all he would talk about. But we continued, and we had a great time.
We did have a great time. We did play pool basketball, which is the most fun I've ever had in my entire life.
Pool basketball. Finally, you're in a basketball game where the playing field is level.
First of all, we played against the girls. The girls won. But
Jesus.
I will say the girls went very hard. They were very vicious. They were like biting and pinching nipples and shit. Pool basketball, the rules, they go right out the window.
Oh, yeah.
That Kim Congdon, she was intense.
Yeah, she's a fighter, I'll tell you that much.
At one point, she gave me these eyes like she was going to murder me.
She punched James right in the face. Pool basketball.
Vic, she was just trying to sleep with you. That's how Kim approaches.
Yeah, she
love making.
Well, that too. There's always sexual tension with me and the ladies. You know that.
She's a vixen, that Kim Congdon. So, look, we had a great time. I will say I
That's
had a great time.
That's what we call the chicks who are into Vic.
I actually watched the 4th was on – the 4th was – Monday. So we did a barbecue. We had a lot of people over. We were down in Austin, brought the whole families. We had shows out in Austin. Shout out to everyone that came out to the Offend Everyone Tour kickoff shows in Austin, Texas. Gonna be coming to a city near you very soon. The fights happened on Saturday night. I was in the green room. I couldn't get a clear feed for the fights. And I was like, let me not do this. Let me not fucking ruin the night. So I didn't watch anything. Stayed off of social media completely, almost completely. Went into my Instagram in the morning forgetting that I was supposed to stay off
that'll
social
always,
media.
That'll always get you.
And all I saw was an interview with Israel Adesanya. So I was like, all right, I know Israel won. And that's all I knew.
But we kind of had that information going into the fight.
Yeah, we knew Israel was going to win that fight. So I ended up watching it, though. On Sunday morning, I woke up 7 o'clock in the morning by myself, rolled a fat blunt, bliggity blunt, to the head, sat there, just enjoyed some fruit, enjoyed some bluntage, and I just watched the entire fight card, which was a lot of fun. Incredible fight card. One of the best main cards that I've seen in a very, very long time, and I think we should start off with that. Where'd you watch the fights, Dave?
I watched them at home. I was off for the weekend, so I was just hanging with family and stuff, and Saturday night.
Do you make the kids go away, or would you let your 3.5-year-old daughter, would you let her watch the fight sort of in the background?
Well, my 3.5-year-old is sleeping at 10 p.m. when the pay-per-view comes on, so it's never really been an issue. But no, I wouldn't let her watch fights. Okay. I don't want her seeing that yet. So I just literally, everyone's asleep, home alone in my little castle, and fucking sat down and watched the fights. It was great.
Yeah, it was a pretty incredible evening overall. Let's start main card. You want to start at the top or the bottom? You tell me, David Boy Smith.
Let's work our way up. So let's start at the bottom.
All right, Pedro Munhoz versus Sean O'Malley. No contest due to an accidental eye poke. Munhoz says he suffered a scratched cornea after O'Malley poked his eye. I think this was in the second round.
And it was a very, it was pretty uneventful before the poke.
Yeah.
Munhoz was landing some leg kicks, although I do think O'Malley was doing a decent job at checking some of them.
O'Malley was for sure winning the fight, landing the harder shots. He was landing more of the punches. The leg kicks versus just punches to the head.
But O'Malley's a guy who's had major problems with leg injuries caused by leg kicks before, so that's the thing people feel like to attack with him. He went very heavy on that style. It's just kind of a shame the fight went the way it did, because it's like it is getting to a point. It almost like reminds me a little bit of like the thing we say with Jake Paul, where you're like, okay, well, if you're going to keep this hype going, at some point you have to beat a boxer. Like at some point you have to do that for us to keep this level of hype going. And with Sean O'Malley just has a lot of hype around his name for someone that doesn't have one. Like, he doesn't have one scalp.
And then as soon as he fights, he doesn't have one guy.
Yeah. He went, that guy was a real guy and he beat that guy. Was Eddie Wineland very late in his career.
Yeah, retired after that fight.
One more fight and then retired or something. But like, at a certain point, you got to at least have one scalp.
Munhoz, he's got a bunch of losses to the very, very top guys, right? Dominic Cruz, Jose Aldo, Frankie Yeager, Aljamain Sterling.
He beat
Jimmy Rivera and Cody Garbrandt.
He beat Cody Garbrandt. Caraway. That was a big one.
He's a guy who,
You would consider him like, okay, that's someone. Like, if he goes in there and beats him up,
Chito Vera is a more impressive guy, especially now, right? Yes. Where Chito's at now, he's sort of surging, yes. Right? Chito Vera is a guy. It's like, why are we not putting O'Malley against guys that are sort of.
Well, he fought Chito. Right?
I know, caliber, you know? Yeah. No, he didn't fuck up Chito Vera.
No, I'm sorry. Chito fucked him up. I mean, listen.
Well, Chito didn't fuck him up.
Well, look, he fucking kicked him in the leg and it fucked up his leg. And then he fucking was trying to fight him with it and he got on top of him and beat the fuck and shit out of him. Yes, you're right. There's a little bit of an asterisk in there. I don't know exactly how you judge that. But
look, he used his body to damage his body.
And then
when you look at it like that, though, that typically doesn't happen when you kick somebody's knee and leg, right?
It was a little bit of a freak thing. Yeah.
A little bit of just sort of like, regardless of that, I agree with you. And I feel like O'Malley, I'm just sort of waiting to see the greatness that everyone's talking about.
He's looked good against.
He's very dynamic. No, yes, or exactly. But he's extremely dynamic and he's fun to watch. He's got a cool look and he's got a fun attitude. But I'm still like, where's this fucking killer performance? You know, like Israel, Connor, these guys that had all this hype coming in, these guys put on some incredible performances.
And there was a point like that too with them where they kept getting, tested higher and higher. I remember when Israel Adesanya fought Brad Tavares and they were like, hey, this is the first like real guy that he's fighting who's like legit been in the top 10 in his division and stuff. And then he blows him out of the water. You're like, oh, okay. This dude's like really fucking good. We haven't gotten that yet out of Sean O'Malley, and it just seems like it's time to get that. And this fight made sense that they made it. So it's just kind of a shame that you see that, and then it's like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, Munhoz coming off of two losses coming into this fight. I just feel like, it was never wholly impressed. Like, oh my god, not Munhoz. So what happened afterwards? I guess Henry Cejudo. What were you saying, Vic?
I was just going to mention that. We have a video of that. We should have it.
What, Henry Cejudo heckling O'Malley?
Yeah, O'Malley was given his post-fight interview, and Triple C had some words for him.
Please pull that up. I'd love to see it. Okay,
there we go. I want to match him. He's right here. I'd love a tune-up. What do you say, Precious?
Serious?
What do you say?
Are you good to go now,
yeah,
huh?
I'm good to go.
Say
when,
it.
When would you want to bend the knee? At what time? Because I think you absolutely suck.
Damn.
Go ahead. Carry on with the interview.
Damn. Oh, O'Malley got his fucking...
No one takes that dude serious.
O'Malley got his dick stuffed in his mouth. O'Malley had nothing to say to that.
It's true. He didn't. He did get caught off guard and lose. For the guy, for O'Malley, who's like kind of a talker, you know, like this, it didn't go good for him. I got to say, from Triple C's point of view, I hate this. Like, if I were his boy or his manager or anything like this, I'd be like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's
you're literally, you're the double champ.
Yeah.
You call your shots now coming in. You should go right into a title fight or maybe try to get a third fucking title. You know, go up a weight class or whatever the fuck you want to do. Now you're picking on some dude who doesn't have one big win on his record.
I think that Triple C is playing 3D chess. And I think he has no interest in fighting O'Malley. He knows he's not going to fight O'Malley. He's not going to give O'Malley that shine. He's not. He's making a moment.
I guess.
You know, O'Malley is a guy who's got a lot of heat and a lot of steam. You have these moments, right? And it's very smart. Very smart. Because you have guys going, like, debating it. Why would he even give him that shine? The narrative, the conversation that people like you and I are having, or anybody else, is like, yeah, why would he even fucking do that? Not even that he's a pussy. The narrative is that, yeah, you're going
to
first
of all... No, I think the narrative becomes people want to see that fight now.
I don't think so.
I think when you start talking shit, then they're like, oh, okay, these two should fight.
I don't think anybody wants to see that fight. I don't think he wants to see that fight. I think he saw an opportunity with a camera there. Start talking down to a guy that he knows that he could spank, and he would spank him. I mean,
I haven't really seen Sean O'Malley wrestle at all, but this dude was an Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah.
Like, probably he's just going to be able to wrestle you if he wants to. And then, like... I mean, I don't know.
We're going to talk about it, but I want to see Volkanovski fight fucking...
That's an interesting fight.
Yeah, that would really, really good fight. Cejudo versus Volkanovski. You know, look, Volk's a after that performance, and we'll talk about it. I mean, I don't know who could beat him. I think he should almost move up to 155. But regardless...
I don't think Henry Cejudo has taken out Volkanovski. And I think a week ago, I might have been like, ooh, that's a real close fight. Yeah. But after that fight with Max Holloway, man... Dude, I don't think he's also got a big size advantage on Henry Cejudo, like what their natural weight is. I just don't think that's
who won that confrontation. Sean O'Malley, Henry Cejudo, who wins? Everything considered, even the fact that you're saying that he shouldn't be calling this guy out, it makes him look stupid.
He won the confrontation. He told him he fucking sucks, and he went, sure, whatever.
How much do you weigh?
Whatever. He's like, could you even make the weight for that? Because, if you could make the weight, then, I suck. I mean, obviously.
There's nobody, but it's Megan O'Leary or some other chick standing in between. Nobody's in between them, and O'Malley just sort of sits there with his dick in his mouth. It was not a good look for O'Malley.
No, it wasn't.
Who is a shit talker? Who is a trash talker? Who is a guy who has a big mouth, calling people out, loves to talk a big game? At the very least, you know you're not going to fight each other right there. I mean, and I don't think O'Malley's afraid of Cejudo, right?
No, I don't think so.
Afraid isn't the word, but you were sort of deer in headlights in that moment. You didn't know what to do. It would have even been more badass if you sort of jawing at him, going up to him, right? Like, whatever it is, dude, it just was not... For Sean O'Malley, who just won on an eye poke, sort of a closer fight than it should have been, who hasn't really fought anybody that big, he needs a couple wins right now in the spotlight. He could have, if he would have chumped Henry Cejudo, it would have been like, oh shit. It was honestly on O'Malley. O'Malley is the one who dropped the ball there in an opportunity.
Yeah, because O'Malley, you should want the fight.
O'Malley had chumped Henry Cejudo right there and been like, you want a tune up fight, bitch? And like, whatever it is, and whatever he did, just came back with some sort of pizzazz, confidence. It doesn't even have clever. Doesn't even have to be clever.
Tune up fight. I'll tune you up right now, motherfucker.
Yeah, dude. A little play on words. Let's go, baby boy. You're Sean O'Malley. But he sort of stood there, and I feel like Cejudo really fucking made him look like a bitch. And Cejudo doesn't need to fight him now because he already won. He already won the only battle that he needs to have with him, which is making him look like a chump, getting the headline, be like, oh shit, Sean O'Malley looks like a pussy.
Listen, Henry Cejudo, I don't think was ever like a huge pay-per-view numbers guy, but he is a guy, and you know this, Dana White loves this shit. They always love like the former champ who never lost his belt in the ring. He never lost either of the belts in the ring. Yeah. You know, like he had two titles that he was holding. And he's an Olympic gold medalist. You put him in against a champion, and then the way you market it is the champion who never lost his belt in the ring versus the current champion. We're actually finding out who the best in the world is. That Sean O'Malley doesn't factor into that equation.
And look, I like Sean O'Malley. I do.
Me too. I want to see him fight better guys.
I am critical of the guys that get a lot of hype. I'm just, whatever it is, I'm just sort of critical. I understand why people are a fan of Sean O'Malley's. He's an interesting dude. He has an enigmatic thing about him, a magnetic
and his striking
that
looks,
factor.
His striking looks incredible. Well, he looks like he's very talented, and he's a fucking interesting looking guy. You know, he doesn't look like a fucking MMA fighter. He looks like a fucking, like, I don't know, like
SoundCloud rapper.
Yes, literally.
Yeah. Also, this video from him.
Let's see.
Joe was backstage.
That little
giving you
fat
grief.
That little fat ass should stay retired. He's running around drunk in the backstage, got escorted out. He's tripping over things, running into things. Looks like he's on drugs. Looks fat. I don't know if he's having a midlife crisis or what.
He's just all the things he was thinking 5 minutes after that altercation.
He shadowboxed that speech in the mirror before he went out there.
God, why didn't I even call him fat? Fat was sitting right there in front of me.
He did call him fat. He said, how much do you weigh?
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
I mean, I still don't think he did enough to erase from my memory Henry Cejudo fucking.
Going, I think you absolutely fucking suck. It's just funny the way he said it. There's a very fourth grade way to insult someone.
It is, yeah. I like it. All right, so moving on. Brian Barberina defeats Robbie Lawler via second round TKO. Wow.
What can you say?
Wow. I mean, look.
Unbelievable fight. Robbie Lawler, it's a weird fucking thing because I love Robbie Lawler, a huge Robbie Lawler fan. Every hardcore MMA fan is a huge Robbie Lawler fan. No one doesn't fucking, you know, have respect for that guy. And he did not look bad in the fight. He fought his ass off and he fucking landed landed some great shots. But it's one of those things where you go, I don't know if you should keep fighting. He's just been in, Robbie Lawler is going to have fucking like brain damage. Mm. He's been in so many fucking wars. This was the truth after fucking, I remember talking about this before Tyron Woodley starched him and fucking took his title. That we were just like, look, dude, his every single like title defense he had were these fucking wars, you know, where he was taking tons of damage. And you're like, this is going to catch up with him at some point.
Yeah.
And then since that point, he's taken so much more damage. And then you see a fight like this. I mean, even in the Nick Diaz fight, he got fucking hit a bunch in that fight. And then, like, to see a fight like this where he just was, fuck, man, he took a lot of shots.
Like, well, look, here's the thing. They both took a lot of shots. Round one, you know, Robbie was looking like the fucking
look great.
Sizable power advantage, right? When a fresh Robbie Lawler, dude, he hits like a fucking truck. He's got a chin. I did get a sense in round one, and man, maybe I'm being crazy, not even conspiracy, right? I feel like Brian Barberina and Robbie Lawler both said in round one, let's go and be really entertaining.
I don't know if they said it, but I think they both kind of had that attitude.
It looked like a glorified sparring match round one in a fun way. They were just, you know, it was a lot of this head movement, like, you know, Robbie was doing the side to side, you know, a lot of this, pop, pop, catching, you know, parrying. And it was really fun, right? But I feel like there was a lot of lack of power shots, and it was a lot of, he'd rip a couple to the body. I don't feel like they really were trying to put it on each other until round two, and I feel like they were just like, maybe a gentleman's agreement, like, dude, let's go get fight of the night right now and make it a really entertaining fight. Maybe I'm being a conspiracy theorist, but it was, if you watch what was going on in that round, it was like, well, guys, it looks cool, but it's like, what's going on here? Like, you guys are just like, kind of like pitter-pattering each other. Robbie had some really great moments in round one. Even in round two, he looked good up until he started not looking good, right? Up until Barberina started taking over, and then Barberina started hurting him.
Well, Barberina kind of played the volume game. He started, like, he was landing a lot. In the first round, he landed a lot, and then he kind of started to overwhelm him with volume, and then he started landing, like, big power shots. And it's just, you know, That
did they get fight of the night?
I don't know.
Did they get a performance of the night bonus?
That's a good question.
Do we know? Maybe. Maybe not. Find out either way. Alex Pereira. Pereira. It was specified as not Pereira specifically, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Pereira.
Pereira.
But I thought one R is the H sound. Shouldn't this be Alex Pereira? Alex Pahaha.
Whatever, that guy.
Alex Pereira.
Big scary kickboxer.
Defeated Sean Strickland via first round TKO. Dave Smith, you were wrong. I was right.
I was wrong.
I came out. Barbarina wins fight of the night. Three fast finishes rewarded. Yeah, fight of the night bonus. Yeah, I think these guys came and fucking...
I don't know.
White men can't jump to us fight of the night bonus. I really don't know.
I think they're just two guys who tend to fight like that, and that's kind of how it went. But maybe you're right. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they met in the locker room and went, hey, you want to have a really great fight? Okay, pinky promise. We'll have a great fight.
Well, dude, let's get to round two. Be like, let's fuck each other up, but let's get to round two, and let's make sure we get, because we can knock each other out in round one. We can do that.
Well, wouldn't you, if you made that agreement, just go knock that guy out in round one? Be like,
knock out of the night bonus.
Whoopsie.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Look, I was wrong about it. I always knew there was a possibility that could fucking happen. That Pereira could just fucking knock him out if he stood with him. I did think, now, of course, the fight ended kind of quickly. Who knows what, you know, Sean Strickland would have had planned, but it did seem like he kind of went out there like, oh, I'm just gonna stand up with you.
Yeah.
I figured he would be at least trying to fucking
stupid
clinch, threaten with a takedown, more stuff like that. I looked at it and said, look, here you got a guy in the top five versus a guy with two fights in the UFC. I know he's a great kickboxer, but I think, you know, if I had to guess, it would go the other way. He stood there and just was striking with him,
yeah,
and got fucking knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, pull up the actual knockout moment. It was a great knockout. Sean Strickland, I was a badass, obviously, you know, just hard-nosed fighter, sort of just, you know, really fucking, when they say, you know, fought his way up the rankings. Like, he's just a guy who just came in and started putting the wins together. Not super flashy. Not a guy that people even, like, he was sort of like dark horse status, right? Like, a guy that was sort of out there. Nobody's really considering him.
And then just
him.
With each win kind of built up to, like, oh, shit. All right.
Yeah, well, and he's a badass. Obviously, he's a fucking badass. I think he's entertaining on Instagram and on Twitter. You know, I think people... a little polarizing. People like to
I think it's great.
I think he talks shit. It's really funny. But he came in with a horrific game plan against a guy who has substantially better striking.
Well, you're just
who
you're
also
fighting
so large.
Well,
dude,
you're fighting a specialist, and like literally the guy is debatably the best kickboxer in the world, one of the best in the world, and it's like just going like, oh, you're fighting Damian Maya, and you're just like, well, I'm just going to take him down and roll around into submissions with him and see what happens. And it's like, well, probably what's going to happen in that case is you're going to get caught. So that was the thing. This sets up such a fucking interesting interesting title fight.
Well, Pereira and Israel, they fought twice in kickboxing,
and he beat him both times.
Beat him both times, dude.
And the thing that's interesting,
they're
going to
kickbox
about that,
each other in MMA.
Well,
that's what's going to happen.
See, this is what's interesting, and I almost feel like there's never really been a situation quite like this before, where you have it's not just that there's two specialists. Like, we've seen two wrestlers fight a bunch of times for titles, you know, like who were specialists in wrestling, you know, like fucking Kevin Randleman fighting Randy Couture or something like that, right? Like, they're both, these are specialists at wrestling, you know. But it's not as if there was like an agreement that neither of them were going to throw punches and were just going to wrestle.
Right.
But in this fight, they're just going to kickbox.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, neither one of them has ever tried to take anyone down. I don't think Israel Adesanya's ever attempted a takedown in his MMA career.
Pereira,
he's not going to fucking take him down. He's going to stand with him.
I would be shocked if he was not a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Shocked. He's Brazilian. I mean, I know he kickboxes.
A black belt?
I'd be shocked.
I don't think he's a black belt.
As a martial artist growing up in Brazil, I would be shocked. Can you look that up
black
as well?
Black belt? I don't know about that.
Maybe.
I doubt he is.
Is this the video we were looking for?
Let's see. Yeah, this is. In the meantime, find out what Pereira's... experience in jiu-jitsu. Oh! Bang, just... Oh, it was out right there.
Huge left hand.
really hits hard.
Yeah.
Really hits hard. You know.
Now, I believe, I haven't watched the fight, but I believe it. They said that Izzy was
Dave winning. Dave hasn't watched the fight.
I believe Izzy was winning the fight and then got caught and knocked out in their last fight. Yeah. But like he was doing real good in the fight and then got caught. So
look, it's also a different sport, different time, different confidence. If you
let us different
has,
time
has the gold around his waist. There's a different thing as well when you have the best training partners in the world, the very highest level.
But this is going to be a kickboxing match.
You've been in but these are the X factors. It's not about the style. I'm talking about you've been in the main event before. Five-round fights many times. The distance many a times. Fighting guys, the absolute cream of the crop in the UFC many times. These are valuable things that play into Israel Adesanya's favor. Right?
No question. No question.
Now,
that's
also
true.
In the back of his mind,
he got knocked out,
by this guy.
And he knows he's got to stay on there. And he knows he's got to stay on there and fucking kickbox with him. So you're right about all that shit. But also, if you're Pereira, you're coming into this and you're like, dude, I'm fucking knocking people the fuck out in the UFC. This guy's eking out decisions, and I've knocked him out before. You can get yourself in a pretty good place with all of that
information.
And
you have to look at that as well, right? So, you know, as we're I don't want to skip over the maybe we should, because we are talking about Adesanya. If you want to talk about Volkanovski.
Yeah, we could do that. That was, in many ways, just as much a main event.
Yeah, so, you know, Israel Adesanya, look... Yes, he handily defeated Jared Cannonier. You know, fought what you would consider a damn near perfect fight. Couple moments Jared Cannonier had. But actually, I shouldn't say that, because Cannonier was coming on at the end. He still didn't win any rounds, in my opinion. I don't think he won any rounds.
I don't think so either.
But I understand why one of the judges gave him the third or the fourth. As the fight moved on, Israel wasn't looking as good or as explosive or as dynamic. And, you know, Cannonier sort of had some moments, some scrambles, some big shots, and some, was trying to brawl it out with him. He had a few moments. Cannonier just was not going to be able to come out and kickbox with him. It was a similar thing. Like, why would Cannonier come out and just try to kickbox with this guy? And I think the answer lies in he didn't have a choice. He couldn't get close enough to him to close the distance. He was going to get kicked in the fucking head had he done that. Israel's coming at, you know, strikes. I mean, you see the diversity in strikes, right? It's crazy. Like head kick, body kick, leg kick, punch, this shit, switch stance.
In combinations, too.
Feigning the kicks. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to come at you and so much.
And very good footwork, very hard to catch. It's just very hard to hit.
Dude.
The thing is, look, it's much easier said than done, because getting knocked unconscious is like a fucking incentive or a disincentive, you know, like you don't want to do, it's easy to go do something where you might get knocked out. And it's a lot harder to actually do that. There were points in that where you felt like he's just got to get more reckless, 'cause he has no shot of winning the fight like this.
Yeah.
And then from the other side, it is hard. Even though Israel Adesanya is this great champion, has all these defenses, it's hard at a certain point to not criticize him to some degree. Where you're like, look, dude, you're selling yourself as you're saying you want to be the greatest ever. You want to be this guy. And it's like, he coasts. He has a tendency to coast in these fights. He's done it many times before. And with in the Yoel Romero fight, there was like the threat of this guy being an Olympic wrestler. In the second fight Whitaker. In the second fight with Whitaker was fighting to take him down. It's a little bit harder to get off, you know, in those fights. But this was just a guy who was standing in front of him like, let's fucking stand and bang. And he seemed like very comfortable to just kind of coast and outpoint him and not really push for the finish. Now, fine, you can do that, but there are going to be, when you're at this level, there are going to be fans who like want to see spectacular finishes out of you.
Yeah, he's got three decisions in a row: Whitaker, Cannonier, Marvin Vittori. And don't get me wrong, like, I know the level of competition has evolved to the point where these guys are all fucking like,
sure.
Like any one of these guys would have done to Rich Franklin what Anderson Silva did to Rich Franklin. That's the truth, right? Yes. But we still haven't, it doesn't matter. Israel's supposed to, if you're the next Anderson or the next big thing, the next GSP,
if we're judging you for your time,
you're supposed to be evolved to the point where you can do that to Marvin Vittori. You should have been able to put Marvin Vittori's nose through the back of his skull the same way that Anderson Silva did that to Rich Franklin and make a statement like that to go, no, don't get into a fucking clinch with me. You know what happened after that? After Rich Franklin's nose was on the back of his head, everyone was like, I'm not clinching with Anderson Silva. There was a fear of this fucking guy. And I think every time Israel Adesanya fights, I think the middleweight division goes, I can beat this guy. I know I can. They watch the Jan Blachowicz victory. There's a path to victory right there. And I think it's a lot trickier and it's easier said than done. But I don't think he commands the same sort of fear or respect that Anderson did. Anderson was a fucking stone cold killer. He was a fucking ninja.
There's no question to me for his time, because the fighters are better now, right? But if we're just judging that, for his time, Anderson Silva was much more head and shoulders above the rest of the pack than Izzy is. But even, I guess, Anderson Silva also had some fights that were duds.
Well, he went on a little bit of a dud tear, remember, where it seemed like he was bored.
Yeah.
And Dana was, like, pissed a couple times.
And then
times.
They threw him up at 205 to fight Forrest Griffin.
And then he fucking just said, okay, I'll show you what's up. And now I'm motivated. That was crazy.
Yep.
We were there live, Philadelphia.
We sure were.
First white boy weekend ever.
That's right. That's right.
Made a lot of mistakes that weekend, Dave. So, yeah, I mean, look, you know, Israel Adesanya, Alex Pereira opens up as a plus 160 underdog, according to Bet Online. Sal Bender opens up as a minus 180 favorite. I would throw down money on Pereira. I really would. And I know, and I said this before, I'm consistent. I just go, I'm not going to ever walk the line with what the UFC expects, and they know better than me. They're investing. They know. Like, people in the know, they're like, no, Israel's fucking head and shoulders above everybody. Stop betting against him. You're an idiot. Stop going with your gut. Your gut knows nothing. They have a vested interest in investing in these people and making sure that they have long, very prosperous careers, right? They put marketing behind these guys, you know. But I have a feeling that Alex Pereira beats Israel Adesanya. What do you think?
I gotta say, I'm leaning toward that. Yeah. I just kind of look at this. I go, look, all the factors you mentioned before some strong reasons.
Oh, this is disgusting. Please give me some French vanilla creamer and a cup of coffee. Yeah, when you're expecting.
You really became a snob in your life.
It's crazy, dude. French
vanilla. Where's my French vanilla? No, despite what you said before, you made good points. I think I just look at this and go, I don't know, guys. They've kickboxed.
No, I need a new cup of coffee. Just tell one of them to do it for you. You can't leave, Natalie. Just say, hey, get Lewis a cup of coffee with a French granola creamer.
Say what?
That tasted like lesbian pussy. That's why she made it taste that way.
She goes, this is how I like it.
Just bland.
I will say, I look at it. I go, these two have kickboxed before twice. And he's won both times. He looks great. He's knocking everybody out. There's no MMA factor here. They're just going to kickbox with smaller gloves. If I had to guess right now, if I had to pick, I'm saying Pereira is going to fucking beat him.
Let's see. I'm going to Pereira's Wikipedia. I like this guy. I like him a lot, dude. Brazilian professional mixed martial artist, currently assigned to Ultimate Fighting Championship. Kickboxing is former glory. Middleweight and light heavyweight champion, also competed in its Showtime Super Combat, blah, 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 blah. Number one in kickboxing. He's number six in the UFC middleweight rankings. Can I see his Brazilian jiu-jitsu experience? The bout never materialized. Early career. Early life.
Yeah, I don't think he has a black belt.
No, dude.
It would have come up.
I wasn't able to find it either.
Come on, dude. He's Brazilian.
That doesn't. They don't all just have black belts.
Black belt in kickboxing.
Well, yeah, that's different.
Damn it.
Someone would have mentioned at some point, oh, and by the way, he's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
I mean, all right, fine. You might be right about this, but either way, I bet he's got a purple.
I don't even know about that.
I bet he's got a purple. I bet he's something.
I don't think so. I'd guess he does not.
Dude, I know fucking 60-year-old men in my gym that are purple belts. I mean,
they will tap him out.
No way, dude.
No, they won't.
No fucking way.
No, they won't.
So you don't need a purple belt if you're that much of an athlete and you just train with fucking white belts all the time?
She goes, no, I don't have a purple belt, but I've been doing it for a month.
Yeah.
Fuck any professional
athlete. No fucking. Oh, look at that. Ooh, are you trying to take me down? Ooh, turn you over.
She goes, they just pick you up like a 3-year-old.
Do you have a purple belt? Yeah. All right. So look, I like that. Let's Israel Adesanya.
Well,
I'm not wholly sold on Israel.
Well, I mean, I'm sold on Israel, but I think this next fight might be his kryptonite, and this is a really tough one for him. There's something about being a specialist and relying on this. Like, any fight Israel Adesanya goes into, he's like, I'm a way better kickboxer than you. That's just the fact.
Yeah.
And now it's like, if I could just stop you from being able to take me down and hold me down, I'm gonna win this fight against you. To all of a sudden going into a situation where that's not the case anymore. Here's a guy who actually, at least according to your two fights, was better than you at your strength. And Israel, I don't think has, where he's gotten pretty good at stuffing takedowns and okay at getting back up. Not great, but okay at getting back up. I just don't see him landing a takedown.
No,
it's fighting
not
gonna, out of
there's
the
gonna
clinch.
Be no, there's going to be no takedowns to be had yeah. at all. It's going to be a kickboxing fight. I'm excited. They invited him ringside. Obviously, they're setting this up. Sean Strickland, good on him to give this guy an opportunity to jump the rankings that much. Right? Yeah. But you did say that, I guess they promised them a title shot, the winner of that fight.
I believe so. I think that's the case.
All right. So let's talk about the main event or the other main event, co-main event. Co-main Alexander event. Volkanovski defeated Max Holloway via unanimous decision. All five rounds, completely dominant performance. I believe you bet on Max Holloway. You were just getting your dick kicked
in. I got
my picks were fucking solid, my friend.
I had a bad night of picks, that's for sure. I mean, I would have gotten O'Malley, right? Oh, no, that was a no contest. No, wouldn't have even gotten that one.
Nope.
Yep. It was a rough time for me.
Which was, look,
here's I would have gotten Barbarina right. I would have gotten some of these other ones, but no, I thought Max Holloway won the second fight. I thought they both looked great since then, but I expected Max Holloway to come back and look.
Well, I mean, look, you look at the trajectory. Max looked better in the second fight than he looked in the first fight, right?
Yep.
And you go like, okay, well, but the other thing is Volkanovski has genuinely looked better every performance.
Well, and it also makes you re-question some things after you see this performance. I'm like, oh, I guess Korean Zombie isn't washed up.
Yeah.
This guy was just that fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
In this fight. Because I kind of looked at that fight and went, Korean Zombie just didn't show up at all. But that's not really the case, I don't think, anymore. You know, it's hard to know these things.
Volkanovski, dude, he
looked so good in this fight. It's hard, and for guys who have fought twice before, they had 10 rounds of fighting going into this, and about a minute and 30 seconds into the first round, you were like, whoa, there. I never noticed. He was faster than Max Holloway in the first two fights, but it was not like this. Like, the speed difference in, like, his striking versus Holloway's, you're like, right away, like, holy shit. He's hitting him three times and getting out of the way of his fucking counters. Yeah. Like, he was just, I've never seen anyone do that to Max Holloway.
Is it that Max Holloway has deteriorated since then? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think Volk's just gotten better.
I don't think so.
Max Holloway just keeps getting better. That's what's going on.
Max Holloway against Yair Rodriguez looked great. Against his last few fights, he looked great. I think Volkanovski's just that good. Max Holloway has lost before. I mean, he lost to Conor McGregor back in the day at 145. But this didn't happen to him.
No.
He lost to Dustin Poirier for the lightweight championship. But this didn't happen to him. It wasn't like this. It wasn't like where he got shut down. Like, he just couldn't do anything. Now, he also did get that horrific cut in a really bad spot that didn't help matters any. But he was getting fucked up already.
Yeah, I mean, look, that, you know, it wasn't like... You know, once again, that was the damage that Volkanovski did to him. It was just what's going to happen in the fight. The cut.
No, but the same other thing.
Annoying.
It happened to be in a bad spot. Yeah. It certainly didn't make things any better for him. But he was just, I mean, he just, and the thing with a guy like Volkanovski is, like, his cardio is also insane. So Max usually kind of relies on the fact that, like, he's got this unbelievable cardio. But it was just like, I don't know, his speed didn't slow down at all throughout the fight. So, I don't know. I didn't see that coming.
The story here is that Alexander Volkanovski is head and shoulders above everybody in the division.
Including Max, who's head and shoulders above everyone else.
Cleaned out the division. Probably needs to move up to 155. Maybe give Henry Cejudo the shot for Triple C, which would be a fun thing, right? This is what I would do. If I was him, let Henry Cejudo come back. Massive fight. First time a guy's trying to become triple champion. Henry, I think, has earned it. I think he's, you know, even at this
and,
point.
And if you're Volkanovski,
even in retirement, has kept himself really relevant, keeps himself in the conversation with everybody.
And Volkanovski's got to feel like he can win that fucking fight.
Yeah, I think he would win the fight, to be honest with you.
I think so.
And he's just too athletic, too fast, too into it. I think it's going to end up being a striking fight, and I think he's going to be able to outstrike him. But regardless, and then I think Volkanovski vacates that title, moves up to 155 and let all those guys fight it out for 145. You make 145 fun again. You get a few contenders that'll emerge.
Well, he said he wants to move up to 155 and defend both. I don't think that makes that much sense for the
UFC. I don't mind it, right? So, and they let, what's her name, do it? Fucking
Amanda Nunes.
Amanda Nunes.
It's a little different with women.
Well, they don't have as many contenders.
They just don't have as many fighters.
They make it like it's a rule, right?
No, it's not. It's not a rule, but I think it does. The problem is that even if you're being really active, it almost certainly leads to less title fights overall than you would have if you had a champion in each division. And
we have a lot of championships.
But if that's the case, it's just for the UFC's bottom line, it doesn't make as much sense.
I'm not in it for the UFC's bottom line. I'm in it for my bottom line.
No, I'm just saying it's probably not going to happen.
I think if they can, I think they should have a very strict rule. If they don't defend their title in a year, you're stripped of your title. Right? Simple as that.
But the reason why they don't do that is because it's, while, like, you make a good point, it would be fair if they did it that way. This is the one rule. This is objectively applied to everybody. But they would rather be in the position where they're like, we'll just choose what we think is best for us at the time.
Well,
Jones popped positive, well, we're going to move states because that's actually better for us right now.
What they're also doing is they know that they need a title at the top of every card, and they can just throw interim titles. The average fan doesn't know. They don't really,
they see a belt in the promo card, and that's that.
So, you know, that's that's another side of it as well. I think that they should make a hard rule. 1 year, if you don't defend your title, that's that. So you have a year. Really, you could do two fights a year and that's that. If you'd like, more than likely, if you want to fucking rack millions and millions and millions of dollars, you try to get three or four fights in a year. Try to defend that belt twice per year. And that's the way fighters do when they come up. It's pretty funny. Like, everyone's fighting three, four, five, six fights a year. Then they become champions and they get a little, you know, they get comfortable. They don't have to fight as many fights. They're getting more money per fight. It's like, Dude, if I'm a fighter, I would have the same ad. You see all these guys like the Jim Millers and the Donald Cerrones who all fight like so many times per year. They just don't give a fuck that they fight.
Jim Miller still does, I guess. Cerrone hasn't been that active before this fight. But I will say right now, what's interesting about this is, like, now you look at, you know, Volkanovski was talking about moving up before this fight. And it's like, yeah, dude, you got to get through Max Holloway. Like, you got a real tough test ahead of you. He outclasses him, wins every fucking round. And now you're like, oh, not only is it interesting to see him move up, you're like, who's to say this guy won't go fucking do that now? Like, who's to say? I mean, look, you saw the fucking submissions that he got out of in the Brian Ortega fight. Like, all right, Oliveira.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Oliveira is probably a better jiu-jitsu guy than Brian Ortega, although he's very good. But, like, I don't know. That's no easy task to go fucking submit this little fire plug.
Yeah.
And how fast he was in that fight versus Holloway, you go, oh, maybe he can give him real fucking
problems.
And
Oliveira gets cracked. Like,
yeah.
Oliveira, like, you know, it's you know, all the fights we've seen him since he's been champion, he's gotten cracked in the fucking head.
And he's getting cracked by guys who hit harder, perhaps. I mean, certainly if you're talking about Chandler or Gaethje, they hit harder than Volkanovski. But they're not guys like Volkanovski who's like,
not have the same volume.
And he's got the volume and he's not going to get tired. He'll do that for five rounds.
Very, very interesting fight.
Very interesting, yeah.
It becomes tough. It becomes a stand-up fight, and I think Volkanovski has a stand-up advantage. How's Oliveira going to get Volkanovski down? I don't see it
happening.
He's
got to drop him, probably.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's,
yeah.
Which is not impossible either, but it's, if nothing else, is a really competitive fight now.
Very interesting. Very interesting. What a fun event over the weekend. Jim Miller also defeating Donald Cerrone. Donald Cerrone retiring after being guillotined. So
that's, I've kind of felt bad because I love Cowboy and would have liked to see him have like a moment in the fight, but I think fucking he's one of those dudes, right, was never the champ, but was like, if you were talking about that, the error in MMA, like the last 10 years or whatever, he'd have to be one of the guys that you mentioned as just like one of the most fun guys to watch that everyone loved. He was that guy for a long time that you were talking about who was always going to fucking take any fight on short notice
exactly.
Always yeah, be yeah. a great fight. Yeah, exactly. Guaranteed it was going to be a great fight.
Didn't I matter. Think he, yeah, go, he was one of those guys that was just like,
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I yeah, think they're just think guys like be, that. I think guys like that, they really made that era of fighting, you know?
So yeah, shout out to Donald Cerrone. Always been a big Cowboy fan. All right, Dave, real quick, let's take a moment and thank YoKratom.com for supporting today's show. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. If you guys are over the age of 21 years old and you guys are in the market for Kratom, you got to get it from YoKratom.com.
Yeah, they're not just the sponsor of this show. Marquee sponsor of Skankfest, sponsor of Legion of Skank, sponsor of Part of the Problem of Real Ass Podcast. They support us in everything we do to a very high level. So the least you can do is if you use Kratom, you're just going to get better stuff at a better price from them. Go to YoKratom.com and it comes right to your door.
Easy peasy, baby. Mailed right to your door. That's that. YoKratom.com. All right, where were we? Let's talk about a couple of these other things while we got a little bit of time left here. Nate Diaz got into a weird backstage thing with an interviewer. There was a reporter. I have no name here. Come on, guys.
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
It does. It's, you know, we could have a little more context here. So apparently the reporter was asking questions. He asked if Nate Diaz showed
Sean
up to watch.
Sean Mack is the reporter's name.
Sean Mack. Thank you. I mean, there's probably context, more context.
I think he said something like the guy had been tweeting, talking shit or
we
something like that.
We know that from the video. I just feel like our production team would have
found the tweets, maybe
found what it was. Yeah,
yeah, that would be worthwhile.
I bet somebody else did the work. All they had to do was steal their work.
There's probably a story. You could probably Google it, and someone else wrote a piece on
you know,
it.
Usually, when you click, you'll read the story, and then there's a thing that's highlighted that you can click on.
Yeah,
that's what it is. His tweets. What is that? Is it a clickable?
So if you guys are listening to this show, you might want to go do that yourself now. Go Google it.
Sorry, I pulled the video. Either way, this is Nate Diaz being Nate Diaz with a reporter. All right.
Or we could just look at the monitor.
Whatever he's up with it. Stockton's finest, Nate Diaz, is coming to check out Sugar Sean, right?
Security's just not doing anything.
Picking up his own hat sucks. Like, you're more worried about getting your hat off the floor than a dude that just smacked your hat off you. That's such a Batum fucking move. You're not ready.
I mean, he's like, what am I going to do? Go try to fight Nate Diaz?
Nate Diaz, dude, you say, fuck you, Nate, and then he punches you in the face. You just made $250,000.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying you should be that guy. I'm not that guy, but, you know.
That's more of a bitch attitude than going and picking up your hat.
No, dude, no.
Punch me. So. I'm going to sue you.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude. Nate Diaz punches me in the face. I am taking him to court. Ka-ching. Are you out of your mind, dude? $250,000?
It is one of those things, though, that you're just like, I don't know. Look, I'm not saying
off
Nate,
my Audi.
Well, I'm not saying Nate should do that, but it's kind of like what we talked about with the Masvidal thing, where you're like, okay, yes, you shouldn't attack Colby Covington, but there are certain people where it's like you just kind of should know you can't like tweet talking shit about Nate and then go up for a goofy interview and be like, yes, hey, you're here to watch Sean O'Malley, right? Like it's just you're like provoking this dude who doesn't play like that. Yeah. So just don't.
No, this
do
guy's
that.
A fucking pussy. Obviously, yeah. Obviously, this guy's a pussy. I'm just saying,
but not just a pussy. I'm saying that he's like you're kind of like you're poking at this guy who you know is like a fucking thug. I don't know. Stop doing that.
I would have whispered in his ear, I was like, you're a fucking bitch. You won't hit me, you little pussy. He goes, bet you won't hit me on camera.
Let's go.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're right. It is also a pussy move to sue and to sort of have that attitude. Like, I've fallen in public places, and my mind's never gone to, like, oh, I'm going to sue this place now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm like, no, I should have been more careful. I should have seen that crack on the sidewalk, you know? Well, it's like true, genuine negligence. I don't really see it. But at the same time, I still think that he would have looked better had he been like, fuck you, dude, let's go. Even if in his mind he was only doing that to sue him.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, well, look, it doesn't, my hat.
It doesn't look great to bend down and pick up your hat. That's not terrible. A situation you want to ever be in.
You got to at least jaw. Nate Diaz smacks your hat off your head. What do you do? Whatever it is, he gets mad. He's like, yo, I heard you doing your impression of me on Yo MMA Rap. He's furious. Yeah, no, but I'm like, you're like, I'm a fan.
But I'm a huge fan. I'm like the biggest fan. No, Nate, we're cool. We're cool.
Get that fucking mic out of my face. And he smacks your hand, smacks the hat off your head.
I bet you won't punch me on national television. yeah, I don't know. I don't fucking know, dude. That's a weird situation to be in if a fucking UFC fighter is like talking fighting shit to you. It's a very, I don't know.
I think the tweets might have been taken down because all of the articles have like
the link and then yeah. Thanks, Natalie. Thanks for trying at least.
I tried. I found this. It's about Nick.
So I am actually hearing the full send guy was saying derogatory things about Nick Maximov, a training partner of Diaz.
But it doesn't say what they're about.
And he wasn't going to. Yeah. So that Maximov's a guy who just got sort of he got beat recently. It's supposed to be the next big
talking
thing.
Shit about him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, dude, fucking. That's the. I will say that you can't fucking start smacking reporters because they said something bad about a training partner.
Agreed.
That, like, that's crazy. It's even if he's talking shit about Nate.
You have to know exactly what he said because there are different things you could say. Like, as a reporter, like anyone, there's lines you could cross where it'd be like, those are fighting words type lines. Yes, I agree with you in general. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't just, like, go smack reporters. I also feel like. You know, it's like when Mayhem Miller jumped in the fucking ring after Jake Shields beat Dan Henderson. And like you said, we remember we talked about this when we were interviewing Jake Shields. Where it's like, you know, you could jump in the ring with GSP and like do some shit like that. And he will be like, you know, okay, I think you are a clown. I don't care. Whatever. You don't scare me, you know, and like go on. But if you jump in the ring like that with Nick and Nate Diaz and Gilbert Melendez and all those guys and Jake Shields, they're going to fuck you up. Like, that's just what's going to happen. So... again, it's just the way he's interviewing Nate Diaz. Even just at, even
well, that's
just
the other.
Question.
All right, so the Sean O'Malley, was that a dig? How was the Sean O'Malley?
I don't know.
A dig?
It's
it seemed
dig.
As such,
it,
right?
It seemed like he was
it
being
like he was
sarcastic
to,
or something.
Maybe
I don't
we're
know.
Missing something there. If there was context of him, maybe publicly not liking Sean O'Malley or whatever it is,
I don't know. But there was something sarcastic.
But
about
I will
being
say
like,
that the Diaz brothers do sort of have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder with, you know. You're in a business where, and I remember when I was doing the show with Bisping, he would very often talk to guys about this specific thing where it's like, you have to make a pick, right? And Bisping was going on air, right? Very, he'll be doing an interview, like, oh, pick this guy. And then you pick him, and then the other guy sees you in the locker room, and they're like, what the fuck, dude? Why are you picking that guy? Like, we trained together for 6 months. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then you're sort of in an awkward thing. And very often, fighters, I think they take it to heart, and they really get, like, and I've seen the Diaz brothers getting,
well, particularly,
like,
Nate Diaz, I told you that him telling the story of when he got in the big brawl with Khabib and his whole camp, and he goes, they were watching the fight, and there's like a picture of where the fucking Khabib guys are like taking like a selfie with all of them in the picture, and Nate Diaz is in the background, and he goes, so they're taking this picture, and they're taking a picture of me in the background, and then they're all laughing. So I smacked the shit out of it, you know, and you're like,
so
dude, they may
their
have,
perspective,
they
they're just enjoying
taking,
life.
I think, I don't think they were trying to chump him at all. Yeah. I don't think they were laughing about him. My guess is that they literally just took a picture and then were laughing, but he's kind of constantly like has this chip on his shoulder, like, oh, are you fucking chumping me? And if you do, I'm ready to fight right now. So that's just when, but if you know that about him, you know, as this reporter, don't be all, I both are true.
Look, I'm a fan. Know? I like watching it happen.
Love it.
You know, it's
love
fucking
it.
Hilarious.
Yes.
All right, so real quick, Valerie Lareda, who I love, who's so, so hot. I
who
mean,
are we talking about?
Valerie Lareda, Bellator fighter. I've simped over her like a
Bellator
times.
Fighter who's a woman.
Female Bellator fighter, Valerie Lareda. Can you pull up her Instagram, please, Natalie? She takes the fucking hottest photos in the world. It's just... It's righteous. I mean, look at her, dude. Go back.
Sorry, one sec.
No. You got to go back to it. Look at her in Disney World, just being a little fucking Cuban vixen.
Vixen. This is what we call the ladies who love Vic.
Yeah, the vixens.
Little vixen.
Yes, I heard that joke before. It didn't get the recognition.
I know it didn't.
I didn't hear it,
and that's why I repeated it. Because Lewis didn't pay attention
didn't
to it
hear
last
it,
time.
Loved it, though. I mean, look at her. She's in Paris. Shut
she's
up.
Just wearing this in Disney World? Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is in Paris.
She's a dumb bitch. I'm sorry. I don't mean that, Valerie. I mean, you're making me so horny that I'm calling you names. Christ almighty, dude. Let's see the Disney pictures.
She looks like a great fighter.
No, the top row. Disney. You don't know what Disney is? Look at her. God damn, Bogey. She knows what the fuck is up. She knows what the fuck is up.
All right. I don't want to just sit here.
Shut up, Dave.
Jerk off.
Shut up, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
That's her sparring with your money and JJ. Drilling. Yeah, she's super hot. So she's officially done with MMA, though. And she's gone over to the WWE.
All right.
This is a quote. I have now become the first Cuban-American woman. I am now a WWE superstar, an emotional Laredo told Ariel Helwani. I'm really excited, and I've dedicated my whole life to martial arts, and everything has come to this moment.
She's the first Cuban-American to become a WWE superstar?
The first Cuban-American woman. She's
I am the first Cuban-American woman.
God, she's dumb.
Everybody's obsessed with being a wrestler now.
Yeah, didn't Israel say that as well? That he's definitely going to be going to the WWE at one point?
Did he? And Jessica I, when she retired Saturday. So that's two prominent MMA fighters, and now Valley Lareda, who's going to just drop MMA.
I just don't care.
Yeah.
At all.
Shit. Not at all. Not at the WWE anymore. A little bit.
Did you guys talk about the Undertaker entrance, by the way? Did I miss that?
No, I didn't.
Did you see the Israel?
I didn't. I fast forwarded through the entrance.
I didn't catch that.
Pull up the entrance, please.
He did a whole Undertaker theme.
Oh, okay. So I missed this. That's kind of cool.
Watch. Just keep watching.
I mean, they had to get permission from the WWE for this music.
Well, Vince McMahon was there.
Oh, Vince was there?
Yeah, they finished their pay-per-view.
Look at this guy. The Undertaker. Oh, my God. The dead man has arrived.
DC is such a great guy.
DC is so awesome, happy. Dude.
It's
DC,
impossible not
DC
to love him.
DC is one of the best broadcasters, by the way.
Yeah, I love it.
He really articulates things in a way.
Well, he really knows that he's like a fucking expert with the X's and O's and shit. And then he's just such a likable person.
Agreed. Big fan. Yeah, this is cool. I like it.
That's cool.
Stylebender, when he came out years ago, when he did the three masks, the dancers, I like it all. I like it all. I don't mind it. Honestly, this makes me like Stylebender more. He's trying to do something different. He's trying to think outside of the box. He's trying to create memorable moments.
It makes the sport
more entertaining, right? I wish he would try to create memorable moments at the end of fights, the first round particularly, while he stands over a guy who's substantially less talented than him at fighting.
Well, it's
those
also,
should be the moments.
It just feels like, again, it doesn't feel like, oh, he's just not that much better than Jared Cannonier and he can't finish him. It just kind of feels, now I don't know. I know this is an easy thing to say, but it feels like, no, I think you could finish this guy. And we've seen in the first Whitaker fight, in the Paulo Costa fight, in some of these fights where he's just been incredible. And it kind of seems like he's just choosing to coast rather than take any risks, which again, if that's what you want to do, hey, how can I blame you? But I would like to see some more highlights.
But if he had lost, would that entrance make him look like a total goof? By the way, I know he didn't lose and he was really talented.
No,
I'm kind of taking the contrarian view. I think I don't want the wrestling entrances in MMA. I think it belongs in wrestling, not MMA.
I think it's fine. I mean, I wouldn't want to see him do it every fucking time, but like
I want to see something different every time. Yeah, I want to be excited about it every time. You know,
it's a cool kind of intimidating thing.
If fucking a Major League Baseball pitcher walked to the mound with that intro, I'd think it's awesome. You know, it also touches on like I'm 40 years old. I grew up as a WWE fan from when it was a WWF, huge Undertaker fan. He's tapping into something. Specifically for me that I really like
a nostalgia, you
know?
Type
if
thing,
we did a John fun. Cena entrance, it wouldn't even make sense to me, right? Like I wouldn't even know what the fuck it is, but this nostalgia thing, definitely he hit on something.
It'd
with
just
that
be like, what is this?
Yeah. And I think like, yeah, if as long as Stylebender keeps winning and keeps on reinventing the wheel and keeps on creating moments, it'll be great. I think that to really to separate himself from the pack. And this was a knock on George St. Pierre for a while. Remember, George would like fight these perfect fights, right? And they were very safe. He would take no damage, but it would be decisions over and over and over
again. But changed. It was like after the Matt Serra fight.
Yeah.
After he got caught and got fucked up by a guy who never should have gotten fucked up by.
And he was like, oh, I can come and fight a perfect fight. I can put together a game plan. But this is the difference is it's not just about fighting a perfect fight. It's about entertainment. And when you, and George, you know, his style shifted. He became a wrestling dominant sort of style with, you know, kickboxing accentuating, highlighting that. Whereas Stylebender has a style where he should be finishing people. He should be fucking finishing people. And there needs to be a little bit more urgency, especially when a guy like he could have finished Eric Cannonier probably pretty fucking easily. If he really just let it go, he was going to be able to finish this guy, in my opinion. So that's my knock on him, even though I am a fan. I like him, you know, but I just don't drink the fucking Kool-Aid that UFC feeds me constantly. And whoever they're trying to push on me, usually I'm sort of rooting against him until they genuinely win me.
Listen, the way the UFC works, and I guess it's kind of true in a sense. I think this is true in sports in general. That like the current breed is always the best ever. Like people tend to get better. You know what I mean? And we get better at training and better, you know, athletes and better technically. I mean, the current batch of UFC fighters, like you said before, they would all do that to Rich Franklin. Like, they're all better. But it is kind of funny how the UFC just always calls everyone the best ever.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's the best ever. Everyone. Max Holloway was the best ever.
Yeah.
Before him, Jose Aldo was the best ever.
Max Holloway era.
Now it's...
How many eras we've been in?
You know, Volkanovski is the best
era. It's the Lyoto Machida era.
He didn't defend the title once.
The short-lived Lyoto Machida era.
I mean, it's like GSP is the greatest middleweight ever. Until Robbie Lawler is the greatest middleweight ever. And then Tyron Woodley. Remember what they were calling him? The greatest middleweight ever. But Usman is the greatest welterweight, by the way, ever. It's like... All right, you guys can't keep doing this. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. It's just another way of saying he's the champion.
We're going to end on this pound for pound, 30 seconds or less, pound for pound fighter in the world right now. Who's the guy?
Right now?
Right now.
The best pound for pound fighter in the world. John Jones hasn't been active enough lately, so Usman probably is the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to take a hot go ahead.
I mean, he's knocking people out. He's knocking out knockout specialists. He out-wrestles wrestling specialists. I mean, I don't know. Who else would you put up as the top pound-for-pound guy right now?
I mean, Volkanovski, I think, makes a real case.
He makes a real case, dude. Yeah, you're right.
Vic, what are we going to say? We're going to wrap.
I was going to say Patricky Pitbull.
Patricky Pitbull for air.
I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Vic. All right, look, we're going to wrap this one. Yo MMA Wrap presented by YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Make sure you guys go support them. And we'll be back next Monday with our normal time. Thanks for watching. Peace.